Okay, so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. You guys know what we're going to be talking about tonight? Yes? Okay. So we're going to be talking about envy and jealousy. And we're going to soon find that in our spiritual life and in our spiritual journey, there are different barriers that if you do not address, if you do not recognize, they will stop us from proceeding, they will stop us from progressing, right? So it's very crucial that we identify these barriers and we try to overcome them, try to beat them. Before I start you, I want someone to read this verse from Ephesians. I guess Nathan, so let him read.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling.
Okay. Was your mic working? Yeah, because people in the back were could not hear you. Okay. So, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering. What's the meaning of long-suffering? No, it's not persevering. What's long suffering? Huh? Patience. That's it. Exactly. Yeah. So it's to have patience. Yeah. Bearing with one another in love. And then when you try to think of what St. Paul is asking, and then by the way, this we read this every morning when we do the morning prayer. This is an integral part of it. So there is a constant reminder on a daily basis that we have to bear with one another in love. So if you try to think about the topic I'm trying to tackle today, which is envy and jealousy, and whether you are the one who perpetrated this or you are the victim of it, that's a good reminder that despite that, we are supposed to bear with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And someone might ask, how am I supposed to keep the unity with someone who is just very envious, or someone who is really very jealous of me, and then it shows in their relationship? Well, we're going to find out how. So St. Paul wants us to keep the unity of the Spirit, not only to keep the unity of the Spirit in peace. He wants us to make peace with those people who bother us with their behaviors or with their wrongdoing. But why? So maybe the rest of this verse is going to explain it. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body. So tonight I want to refresh. I know that you all know it, but sometimes we forget. What I want to refresh your memory here is that we are members in one body. So we all belong to that body, okay? Do you know in one body, if you have one organ that is failing and you do not address it, what's gonna happen to the body? The whole body will eventually, it's gonna be chaos, and eventually the whole body will die, right? If I have even an infection in my little toe and I don't address it, the infection could spread in my whole body, what we call in medicine, oh, this, the person is gone septic. You might have heard that before. Like a small infection that maybe was not addressed. It made the whole body, we call it septic, it went septic. And if we do not address that septic state with stronger antibiotics, the person will die. So that's the thing, like, we are about to learn about a couple, you know, things that if we do not address, they could lead to our spiritual death. There is no way you can, you know, dig deep inside of you and see the real you, the real light, and the real picture that was created in the likeness, the image and the likeness of God, if you are surrounded by those barriers. So that's why we need to understand about them so that we need to treat them. So tonight I want to be talking about the definition, what's envy, what's jealousy, and why do they happen? And then I want to talk about how do they express themselves, how does it show on us, and I also want to talk about the stages if we do not address them. And the most important part will be how the cure, right? How to address that. Okay. So, jealousy by definition, when you are fearful of being displaced by a rival or losing an achievement because of this rival. So you're gonna find that jealousy is always associated with a sentiment of fear. There is a fear inside of me that I am going to lose something. I achieved something or I have something and someone else is coming to snatch it away from me, okay? So that's jealousy. What's envy? Envy is a bit worse. It's a resentment at seeing the success of another person. A feeling of grudging admiration and a desire to have something that is possessed by another. We're gonna find that jealousy and envy, they go hand in hand together. It's like, for instance, in mental health, we have, I'll give you an example, an anxiety and depression, we put them under a big umbrella that we call neurosis, right? Under neurosis, we have an anxiety and depression. Doesn't mean that every single person who is anxious will end up being depressed, but if that person does not address their anxiety, because they become very aware of it, with time, their mood goes down, and they plunge into depression. And then when you ask the people who have panic attacks and recurrent panic attacks, and you ask them, are you depressed? They will tell you, lots of them, they will, sorry, I'm just like suffocating. Lots of them are gonna say, we're not happy, which is synonymous for depression, right? So jealousy and envy go hand in hand together. As we're gonna see, if you do not address it, if you start with jealousy and you do not address it, soon enough you're gonna be an envious person, okay? So it's like two siblings that grew up together, you know, envy and jealousy, and really it's not the best environment, so they look like sick children born to unhealthy parents. The father, we can call it Mr. Insecure, and the mother, Mrs. Comparison. We're gonna find that, I wanted you to remember that with jealousy and envy, they go hand in hand together, and they stem from a sense of insecurity. I feel insecure because I feel like, oh, my fame or my, I'm gonna lose praise because someone else is gonna come and take it away from me. So there is a sense of insecurity. And also, there is an urge to always compare myself to someone else. Always compare, and I measure my achievement to those achieved by someone else. Okay, so. Causes of envy and jealousy. I ask you first, or should we jump in straight? Ask? Okay. What do you guys think causes us to be envious and jealous of each other? Okay, Mark, I'll give you the mic.
Dissatisfaction with social life, work, education.
Okay.
Could be financial.
Okay.
It's such a huge target, you know.
Yes, yeah. but you hit it right. Right on. Dissatisfaction with what you have. Okay. Do you guys think of anything else? What makes me start to be jealous of other people?
Insecurity.
Yeah, I know, but more than what I said, insecurity and the urge of wanting to compare and... Fedi?
Greed.
Hmm?
Greed.
Very good. Greed also, absolutely. So we said dissatisfaction and greed. I love that when you guys do the talking and I get to rest. Okay, anyone else thinks of anything else? Hoda? Huh? Lack of love, absolutely. Okay, lack of recognition. Okay, very good. Yeah.
Not knowing your self-worth.
Not knowing your self-worth, absolutely right. Michael, you have to give us something, man.
Pressure?
How can you explain it? Okay, very good. Okay, so when, speaking of comparing ourselves, to others, and I'm pressured to achieve certain probably standards achieved by other people, right? Right, very good. Okay, so let's jump in. So there are things that I don't want you to blame yourself for, because believe it or not, we were conditioned to start behaving in a way that make us predisposed to be jealous and envious. So when we are born and we start to grow up as kids, we grow up into the system of reward and punishment, right? You do something, wow, you get a reward, makes you feel good. You do something else, you're punished, makes you feel bad. So with time, you wanna keep doing more and more of the things that will bring you praise, that will bring you the love of your parents and your friends, that will bring you gifts, right? So we are conditioned to start comparing, because for instance, I go to school and I go home with my grades, and then they say, oh, what did you score? And I say 82. The next question would be, oh, what's the average for the class, right? So I start to compare myself to the other people, right? So believe it or not, we grow up in that system that makes us prone to compare and to look at each other, right? And wanting to compete, right? So in a sense, don't blame yourself. It's not gonna stop here, wait. But I just wanna give myself some excuse, because whether I like it or not, we grew up in that system of reward and punishment, which made us prone to compare with each other and to compete with each other. And then, as we grow older, guess what? Something grows stronger and stronger with us. And actually, we are going to recognize this down the road as an enemy. We call it the ego, right? As you grow older, the ego grows with you, right? And with the ego comes what we call the pride, right? So I feel like I deserve to have a life focused on my own personal gain and satisfaction. And if I fall short of achieving this, jealousy and envy will develop. Another thing is, we sometimes, not sometimes, as we grow older, we understand to value the worldly gain. So we are conditioned to value money, status, appearance, talents, achievements, because this gives us a value and it gives us a place in society and in the world, right? You can't help it. It is what it is. This is how we grow up, right? Some people, in the midst of all that, they develop low self-esteem because they look at themselves as a failure, and you know, they compare themselves to other people, and maybe they are not at par with them, so they start to live with that low self-esteem, right? So this first screen tells you that we are kind of like, you know, as if we're conditioned to function this way. As if we are conditioned to function this way. Is this my phone? Sorry, like someone is picking something. Okay, so be careful. Like, don't blame yourself for that stage, because we're all in it together. But I will blame myself if I identify the drawbacks of this and do nothing about it, and leave myself to continue to be a jealous person and to be an envious person. Do I make sense here? Right? Because I don't like just like to blame people who are envious and jealous. We are all in this together, in different degrees, by the way, in different degrees. Like, you know, some people are really sick and some people have it in a mild way, but we're all in this together. Why? Because that's our upbringing. We grew up in that system, right? Yes, sir. You can come in. So that's my friend, yes, sir. Everyone is admiring you because I told them that you lived without a phone for 1 week. Okay, so. Next slide. You guys touched on some of it. So Mark mentioned the first one, dissatisfaction with what God has given you already. You're dissatisfied with that. And your eyes is focused to see what God has provided to the others, but you're blind to what God has provided to you. So that's another point. Another point which is important is when you fail to discover your own talents. Believe it or not, you remember the parable that Jesus said about giving talents to his servants? Someone took five, someone took three, and someone took what? Zero or one? One, right? We haven't heard about anyone who took zero talent. That's why Jesus gave this parable for a reason. God has given talents to every one of us, but with different measures, because of reasons he knows, we don't know, right? But even if I have one talent and I fail to discover it, that's a problem. If I have one talent, only one talent. So if I see that X or Y have 5 talents, 3 talents, and I fail to recognize my talent, that's a big problem. But you know what? If you recognize this one talent, and you work on it, this one talent could be like the mustard seed, who grows into a huge tree, right? So another reason for us to stall and to stay in this stage of, like, you know, envy and jealousy is we fail to discover our own talents. Another important thing is, even though we are growing in church, like, if I go back to the previous slide, it's all about social life, right? You remember? We were talking about the way, like, our upbringing at school and at home, and, like, the system of rewards and punishment, da-da-da. We're all in this together. But being Christian and being born in the faith, the church teaches us many things. So you're going to find that this second slide, if we fail to recognize what's in this slide, we could be in the church, but we could be, diseased, sick. So I am in church and I pray to God, but you know what? I'm dissatisfied with God's provision. Or I failed to discover my own talents. Or I completely misunderstood God's love. So in fact, Christian love, it's not about me loving myself. It's about me loving God and loving my brother, loving the other, putting the other first, right? Not me first. Jealousy and envy wants to put me first. And that's why this is a misunderstanding of God's love. God's love means, the Christian love means, you put others first and you last. Do I make sense? Perfect. And another thing, maybe I kept it till the end, but it's the most important. Even if, you know, I am not really dissatisfied with God's provision, I'm thankful. You know, I have talents, I discovered them, and I know about God's love. But if I fail to enter into real communion with God, that's a problem. If my Christian life is all about just like knowledge and worship, but there is no real communion between me and God, that's a huge problem. Because when this happens, like when you enter into real communion with God, the whole world, with all people in it, I don't care. Not that I don't care, like, you guys go suffer or go die. No, I don't care means, like, I don't care about their achievements, I don't care about money, I don't care about materialistic life. I only care about this treasure that I found, which is the bond that ties me to him, right? So this is a crucial point. Like, you know, if the other 3 points in this slide we managed to understand, but we failed to enter into real communion with God, we're going to still be prone to jealousy and envy. Okay, so these were the roots or the reasons for envy and jealousy, and you guys said some of it. Okay, this quote, I like it. It was written in a book, but by an anonymous person. He said, envy is a symptom of lack of appreciation of our own uniqueness and self-worth. Each of us has something to give that no one else has. Good. Okay. So I want to remind you here that the scripture says that love is as strong as death, and it will produce powerful jealousy that is as cruel as the grave. This is in Song of Solomon. Which means that, you remember the first slides and the predisposition for us to become jealous and envious? Not only that, the love that we have, this passion that we have inside of us, the love, if it's not tamed, if it's not really, if it goes unchecked, this same love could turn into like a cruel emotions of selfishness. And it lies at the roots of, you know, all the ailments, including the jealousy and the envy. Okay, so how does jealousy and how does envy express itself? Open for questions. How do you know that a person, like the behavior of someone who is envious or jealous? If I, like what? Okay. Yeah. Comparing. Okay, what else? They will sabotage you, right, good. What else? I want to engage you guys. Okay, so let's move on. So there will be, first thing, there will be like a resentment towards others, like towards the people you're jealous of or the people you envy. There will be this sense of resentment. So what does it mean? So the person who is resenting you, they will be very highly critical and judgmental of you. And they can't wait for any just, you know, occasion but to talk bad about you. Okay? So this is one of the signs. And they will express, oh, like this person, I don't like him. Oh, you know what, this person, like, you know, the way he behaves, the way he wants to just like, you know. So there will always be this, you know, criticism. There will always be this judgment and this dislike. Lots of gossiping, you know. You can't wait to just, you know, the occasion comes that you start talking about that person and to talk negatively about that person. There will be, Nathan tried to say this, like the competition in the relationship. They will try to be competing all the time. They want to be the big cheese in everything, right? There will be a drive towards an overachievement. You always want to overachieve. Why? Because you want to appear superior, right? Make sense? You want to appear superior so that you feel satisfied that, oh, I beat that guy, right? So this drive toward overachievement. Lack of contentment. So you're rarely content with what God has given you. You're always on the hunt for, like, what did that person achieve? And I want to exceed. Absolutely. Right. So these people, you're going to find that they are always complaining. And their vocabulary will lack things like, oh, I'm thankful. Oh, I'm grateful. Like someone who is very envious and jealous, in their vocabulary, you will rarely hear this, oh, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And they will always have this thought of, oh, if only I could do this, or if only I, right? So this is because of lack of contentment. Another thing, like, those people could plunge into depression because, like, you know, they are always highly self-critical because they maybe have low self-esteem, as we said before, or they fail to achieve what others did. So they are dissatisfied with life, as Mark said. Of course, like, these people will struggle in the relationship. Like, you know, yes, they might have some, you know, successful relationships, but overall, these people will find themselves failing in the relationship. Why? Because it becomes very obvious very soon to other people that, you know what, I feel that you're jealous of me, or I feel that you're envying me. You're not happy when I succeed. You're not happy when... Like, it could be with friends, but it could be also like husband and wife, right? Like, you know, it's not the topic to talk about the jealousy that destroys, like, you know, a marital life. I'm talking more, but this could fit under it as well, right? Okay, so now, if you do not recognize, as I said before, like, you know, if you have a sick part in your body and you fail to recognize that this part is sick, there will be what we call in medicine complications. And if, you know what, I don't address the complications, it will lead to death, definitely, right? So same thing happens to our spiritual life. There will be stages, and that's why I want to talk about them. And if we do not address them, they will complicate until they kill me spiritually. So what are the stages? The initial stage is very simple. Very simple, like, you know, you're desiring what someone else is or what someone has. Like, you know, shushu shaitan, like, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Did you understand what I said? No. Shushu, like Satan. He wants to deceive you. Yes. So, like, it's very simple. Like, you know, what's wrong? Like, you know, I see that Mark is a successful man, and I'm not as successful. I want to be like him, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. So I want to be what he is or what he has. I want to have like him, for instance, right? And then, if this is go unchecked, right, what happens? It can lead to, you start to be scornful, you start to disdain that person. And why? You start this sense of resentment because this person is a constant reminder of what is lacking in your life, right? So every time you see that person, it reminds you of that thing that you wanted to achieve but you haven't yet, or the things that he has, his possessions or her possessions, and I don't have them yet. So I start to go into this deeper stage of scorn and disdain and contempt. And then it progresses into malice. Malice, if left unchecked, people want to destroy anything good or anything pleasurable in the life of that other person, right? So it has started with simply, oh, I want to have like this, or I want to be like him. And then I started to feel some resentment toward that person. And now I want to destroy that person, right? And then, as Mark was talking about, for instance, like, you know, between husbands and wives, or, you know, there is this domination of relationship, and it happens with friends too. Could happen with friends. You want to dominate, and why do you want to dominate? Because this desire to dominate is really an expression of a subtle anger inside of you, and this domination could use lies. You can lie. You could use threats or any other manipulation to control the relationship. So what are you going to gain when you dominate a relationship? You are a leader here. You lead. So you can, as Mark said it, you can sabotage the other one achievements, right? You can orchestrate things so that you can dissolve or make other success go unnoticed, right? So there is this, like, you know, desire to dominate the relationship. Okay, That's the best part. And that's the part that should really, you know, you should drag all your antennas up, because that's the cure. This is the cure. And as we said before, our upbringing makes it that all of us grow into this system of, as we said at the beginning, of punishment and reward, and all of us have variable degrees of this disease, right? That we want to get rid of, because if left unchecked, it will destroy us, okay? So, again, I'll quickly, we're good on time, I think, very good on time, so I'll ask a few questions. What do you think is could be a cure and could be action steps for what we discussed so far? You can probably, thinking of what we said, just like extrapolate some remedies, right? It's not difficult. Marina. Practice to be thankful. Very, have you guys, do you know Marina Saad? No? Marina Saad is new to Ottawa. We used to study with her parents in Mississauga when we moved from Egypt, so good friends of us. Hmm? Her answer is practice to be thankful, right? What else? How can I cure this? Because now that I recognize it, like, you know, if I recognize that one of my organs is sick, I would be stupid not to go see the doctor, right? I want to go see the doctor. I want to treat it, right? So she said something very important. What else? Actually, there is like, I think, 7 or 8 slides. So there's too many. Abuna? Excellent. Very good. Very good. So reveal it. Because when I go to the doctor, I don't sit there. Well, this used to happen in Egypt. I used to have patients like, how are you? I'm not good. Okay, what's wrong? Oh, you're the doctor. You discover. What? Honestly, no, this happened. This used to happen in Egypt. You're like, "Enta doktor ekshif." So, but here it doesn't work this way. Like, you know, you go to the doctor, you reveal, as Abuna said, you reveal what's wrong with you, and the doctor presents you with a long list of questions, and you answer them, right? So very good point. So practice thankfulness, reveal it. What else? Penny. That's a very good point. However, that's like, I mean, it's just, that's God's mercy that intervened, right? Which is good, but I'm not going to wait until just like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a passive way of treatment. Like, you know, I'm going to wait for a miracle to happen and God breaks me so that, oh, I see the light. You know what I'm saying? So it is right, but I'm asking more about action steps that we want to take. Very good. So thankfulness, reveal it, pray about it. Come on, guys. You're getting there. Hold on. Know your, understand your self-worth. Starts to understand. Very good. 4 things. Discover your potentials. Things are coming up now. Very good. Start fishing? Aww. Of course. Please, can you praise me? Yeah, I would. So abuna means that you need to scrutinize yourself. You need to really sit with yourself, like, you know, silence the whole world, because this is life or death. It's life or death. And when I say life or death, I'm not saying anything like just figure of speech. It's life or death, because it's either this thing is gonna kill me, those obstacles, and I might die before I just like see the light or enter into real communion with God, despite all the years of service and all the years of worship, I did not manage to really have this real bond with Jesus. This is a matter of life or death. So what Abuna said makes absolute sense. I need to shut the world around me, to silence it, put myself under the microscope, try to understand why is this happening to my life, why am I being jealous of people, why am I being envious of people, what is wrong with me, right? Very good. Fedi? So I think my last slide will talk about this point. So I'll come to this instead of just like jumping between. But we will talk about the fine line between a positive jealousy or ambition and a negative one. Okay, so just for the sake of time. So be honest. And this is, I think, what Abuna was touching on. Be honest. Be honest. Why? Because, as I said, what happens if you fail to acknowledge that one of your organs is failing? This organ could kill the whole body, right? Okay, so sometimes envy and jealousy may be disguised in many different forms. As we said before, criticism, contempt, gossip, manipulation. So, like, it's not going to come to you straight as, you know what, you are someone who has a disease called jealousy, or no. How do I recognize that I might have this? If I find myself, you know, very judgmental of people, if I find that I always criticize people, if I love gossiping about people, if I'm a manipulative person and like to use anything, just to manipulate the situation, the people around me, be honest about it. Be honest about it. As Abuna said, put yourself under the microscope. Put yourself under the lens here. Ask God to reveal your motivations and feelings. God will always speak to your heart, because God does not want any one of us to be lost. It's the complete opposite. God can't wait. He can't wait for someone to say, God, help me. And he will. Because he says, I am standing at the door knocking. He's knocking all the time, knocking all the time. He is waiting for you to open. So imagine when you want to open and it's like, can you cleanse me? Absolutely. This is his job, okay? So confess your heart attitudes before Christ in prayers with your father in confession. Or if you know of a spiritual guide, right? So first point is be honest. Another one is just put the life of Jesus Christ before your eyes and like, you know, remember his teachings, remember his life, remember what he did. As a leader, he was a servant. As a leader, instead of dominating, he would sit on the floor and wash the feet, right? So this is the life of our leader, like, you know, the leader of our salvation, right? This is who he is. That's his character. So, and remember that you are a beloved child to God. What? Yes. Like in Egypt, can انت حبيب أبوك. Like you are a beloved child of God. This is in itself is worth the universe, right? So this is what Hoda was saying, like, discover your self-worth. I am a beloved child of God. And this in itself could quench your low self-esteem and change the focus of your needs and your wants in life. When you start your day, commit yourself and your day to God, asking God for guidance throughout the day. Now, try to develop a lifestyle of gratitude and worship, what Marina was saying, right? So count your blessings. Stop looking at other people's blessings. Count your blessings. Find your own talents. You will find them. If you're blind, pray about it. God will reveal them to you. So this is how I develop a life of gratitude. I count my blessings, and I thank God for what he gives me. Now, how do I develop a lifestyle of worship? So praise God for all he is and what he has done with you so far. Read the Bible as a personal message. Don't read the Bible as like a story, because it could become boring, especially if you read the Old Testament. Like, what do I have to do with the Jebusites and, like, you know, Canaanite and Amenable Haggit? No, read it as a personal story. Read it as something. There is a message coming to pray before you open the Bible. God, reveal what message you want to send me today when I read the Bible. Change what you read as a prayer, right? The Psalms, you can just, like, you know, when you read the Psalms are beautiful. You read them as personal prayers. At the end of each day, like, make it a habit to reflect on what happened the last 12, 15 hours. There were unexpected blessings, maybe, that happened to you, but you have not recognized them. And thank God for not only the things that he gave you that day, but the bad things that could have happened to you that day, and they did not happen, right? So this is how we put ourselves into this constant lifestyle of gratitude and worship. So we said, be honest. We said, focus on the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. Develop a lifestyle of gratitude and worship. Avoid activities that encourage comparison. Social media is big on that now. It's terrible. Like, you know, just like scroll Facebook and you see your friends, like, you know, everyone is posting, and, like, you know, you start to think of yourself. And don't. Like, if this is something that you cannot overcome, and this is something that tease the fire of envy and jealousy, stay away from it. Do yourself a favor and stay away from it. So whether it's magazines or TV or social media, like, stay away from the activities that will make it worth. You can focus on reading books that encourage reflection, like, you know, on, I like this one, the beauty of life and the external free blessings we have as believers. Like what? You know, there's so much miracles happening, like, around us, and sometimes you're just like, we're so blind. But if you have this eye that sees, like, God's works in nature, and, like, you know, especially that we Christians, we like to meditate, you can look at a beautiful flower and meditate on, like, I sometimes, we and Hoda, like, we look at the snow or we look at the flowers, it's like must be like an incredible engineer who did that. Like, you know, when you look at a beautiful flower or, you know, beautiful design, like the nature shows us, right? Another blessing that we have is, oh, the heavenly kingdom awaiting us. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe not. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. What? All this is waiting for us? Yes. It's not just like something that we keep praying. It's a truth, okay? So, now, another one is interrupt the feelings of jealousy and envy. This is important. How are we going to interrupt that? I'm going to ask you to do something that's strange. You start praying for the person that you are envying. You start praying for the person you are jealous of. So you say, thank you, God, for the blessings you poured on that person. Does it make sense? Absolutely. That's the beginning of cure. I thank you, God, for blessing that person. You start to rewire your brain. You start to change your mind. Remind yourself that what Jesus said about life, that it's not really the abundance of things that we have and we possess that give us worth, right? It's not that. So what gives us, like, you know, meaning in life? What? It's not the things I possess. It's not my car. It's not my house. It's not how much money I have. What gives me worth is that I am the beloved child of God, and I am waiting for an incredible inheritance, right? This is what gives me meaning, okay? We said this one, always remind yourself that you are a God's chosen child. So another good exercise that you could do on top of just like praying for that person, ask yourself, what is it about that person that makes you envious? Is it, I don't know, his probably social skills? Is it he loves to be compassionate? And then while you are thanking God for these gifts to that person, just like ask God to allow you to learn maybe from that person. You know what I'm saying? So we start here to touch a little bit on what Fadi was saying, that, like, you know, that falls under ambition, that, like, maybe I'm not really envious in a bad way, but I want to learn from that person. This is good. But if you discover that your envy or jealousy, of course, are negative, then that's not good. So you pray about it. You thank God for blessing that person with these gifts, and you tell God, just like, okay, teach me. Or maybe it's just like, you know, I wanna know how he or she does it, and I wanna probably does it in a you know, not in malice, but in truth, right? We said it before, find your own talents. Transform your mind, asking God to help you with that. And in medicine, we have what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. You all know about that. Sometimes we make people feel better by just like altering the way they think, right? So we call this cognitive behavioral. Remind yourself of beautiful verses about love. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, da-da-da-da, like, you know. Remember all the positive in your relationship with that person of whom you are jealous. Always focus on the positive in the relationship. There must have been something good between you and that person. Focus on that. Don't focus on the negatives. Do something right. Push yourself to do something right. Send him a message or send her a message. Hey, I miss you. With, like, be truthful. Send a card. Send something that, despite your negative feelings, push yourself to do something maybe in the opposite direction, and this will teach you. With time, it will change your heart. Last point is grow. We have to advance in our spiritual life, so you have to grow. So design a plan, always evaluate that plan. Where am I on the map? Practice disciplines like prayers and fasting and solitude and sacrifices and worship. Memorize scripture. Ask God for help. Bring believers in your life to change your life. And I think, and that's at the end, like, you know, if you fail all what we said, but I doubt it, just seek professional help. One, this is the last slide. Remember those who led you or who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Like, we say this verse a lot of the saints who made it to heaven, who directed us in the way, and they finished their race very successfully. I don't want to use the word jealousy here. I'm not jealous in a bad way. But this could be, I think, what touches on what Fadi was saying. This could maybe harmonize with, I am ambitious. I want to be like them. Not that I don't like Baba Carolus. No, of course not. I wish I could be just like, 30% of his, achievements with God. I wish I could be that. Or if I achieve that, oh my God, in humility, I want to increase that. Not because I want to be better than him, no. It's just like, so there is, if you have good intentions in your heart, you could look at someone, at their, positive, and instead of being envious of them, you just try to, okay, how did they do it? And in love, you can just you can even ask them, oh, how did you do that? By the way, if someone comes and asks me, oh, how do you learn that? How did you learn that? If I'm a good person, I'm going to show you freely. If I'm a bad person, I'm going to just, if I am also someone who, falling to envy and jealousy, I'm going to use malice. Oh, okay, I'll send you, I'll send you the PDF and then, you will never see it, right? But if you, let's say you're envious of me, and I happen to be a good person, come to me, oh, how did you do this thing? Say it in love. Oh, this is how I'll show you. And then we both grow together. We both grow together, right? So that's it. Question? Questions? Did you benefit anything? Fadi, did I answer your question? No. Your question was about ambition.
Lost in comparison, which leads to jealousy and envy sometimes. So I guess it could start in a positive way, we want to become better or we want to improve or whatever, and then they get lost in it. So how can they basically realize when they have crossed the line between separating ambition from?
Okay. So this is a good, very good question, actually. Okay, so today I stink, okay? So I took a shower, okay? And I changed that, and I smell wow, right? But guess what? If it stops here, after maybe a couple days, so what do I need to do? Shower again and again and again and again. So what you say make absolute sense, that sometimes we start with good intentions, right? But if we don't do what Abuna said, it's sit and scrutinize yourself and review the day, reflect on what went wrong, what could have been done right, your practices of prayers and confession and all these tools will help us, it will spot right on what went wrong. When did I deviate? When did my feelings deviate? And I will find out where things started to go wrong and I will correct it. But like the analogy, if we don't do that, I'm gonna stink again, right?
Touch on a nerd, okay? Everything you said was awesome. How can you deal with jealousy and all of that when it's coming from another source?
No, so yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. So you can't like, you know, you can't, if you're growing up as a child and like, you know, as I said, we like the way of our upbringing makes us all predisposed to lead a life of just like, I want to compare myself, and without I help it sometimes, I become jealous of people who are achievers or who achieve better than me. So I don't see a child going to their parents saying stop, because they don't know, right? They don't know, right? But thank God, because while the society predispose us to have a strong ego and to have a pride, we should be thankful, because parallel to this, in a church, all the teaching, right, that goes parallel to that tries to balance it out, until the point comes where I would just like ditch all that, because I found the true treasure, which is my bond with Jesus Christ, right? So I think, and that's why, like, you know, so when we talk about our life in church and our fellowship together, and like, if we just like do this as work of worship without deep meaning for it, without deep love, we're losing it, right? We're losing it. So try to benefit from it. Try to be sincere. Like, you know, try to be sincere about your relationship in church. Look at this congregation as your family, your real family. Ask about them. Love them, you know, instead of being the opposite. Like, I didn't want to talk about, because I didn't want to make the talk very long and boring, but how do you deal with someone? I was expecting someone to ask me that question. Like, I know now that, for instance, Mark is very jealous of me, and he envies me. How do I deal with him? Did you ever ask yourself that question? How do you deal with someone who is envious, or someone who is, how do we deal with him? I want you now, based on what we said, to maybe reverse things and give me some answers. How do we deal with, this is important, speaking of us as a family together, how do we deal with that? Sure. Yeah, but it doesn't work. But it's important that we also have some clues on how to handle that. Let's say, like here in church, for instance, there are two people who don't love each other. They fake it, but they don't love each other. How do we deal with this? Come on, guys. After all what we said, you can. Huh? Very good. You pray. And you remember when we said, just if you want to treat your own disease, you pray about it to God, and you start thanking God about the blessing that he has given to that person. I now do the opposite. Like, you know, I pray for that person because maybe like he or she have their reasons. Maybe, like, you know, their upbringing was different from mine, and this is how they were conditioned. I don't need to blame them for that. I want to help them for that. So you pray sincerely for them. Rasha, you wanted to say something? Judgment? You're judging someone?
Not judging, but just it's the reason for me to find the reason that they don't accept me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. I got your point. It's an excellent point, by the way. So instead of now me focusing on that person and labeling him as he is or she is a jealous person, and they are jealous people around us. Yes, we can deny it. But What Russia was trying to say is that don't think, right? This is what you... No. Wait. Well, you don't have... No. Like, I mean, are you saying that in life there are no jealous people? There are jealous people. There are envious people. Abuna is saying something very important. Like, you don't have, like, so let's say let's say you're jealous of me, okay? And I know why. I'm not going to assimilate you. I'm not going to make it worth for you. I can make it clear for you. I can, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can love you more. So if you have this towards me, I can respond with, we said secretly, I will be praying about it for God to help you, but I'm not going to give you back a resentment. I'm going to give you back love. And with time, this is a healing power. Well, I mean, you can try, because as we said, we're members in one body, so we need to help each other. But at one point, like, you know, if it's not working, so you just pray. You just pray. Make sense? But back to your point, like, you know, I can't just, like, agree 100% with it because, you know, I can't just, like, a patient coming with me with a disease and I say, oh, no, you have nothing. You have nothing. And then, like, you know, no, you have nothing. But there is something wrong with me, doctor. No, you have nothing. Like, sometimes... I'm not saying that I am going around looking at who is jealous. No. I'm saying, like, in a group of people, in a group of friends, some people talk about it that, like, you know, like, I feel, what? Yeah? So are we all at that level that we are seeing ourselves through? Right. So back to your point, if we are honestly sitting in a, like, you know, a big group of saints, this topic would not even be there to be discussed.
Even with saints?
The good jealousy, this person, because I see your point, like, you know, if I am that high, then this is when I'm going to, my eyes are not going to see that this person is jealous or this person, you know what I'm saying? But we're not there yet. We're trying to get there. No, but I understand. Now I understand. You wanted to say something? No? You lost it? Any?
I was going to say, like, the point of, like, helping the person not to focus on you, like, helping them to discover their own talents, because sometimes they're so focused on what you're doing. So just building that person up, like, helping them to see what's been done, and it can take the focus off of yourself.
Where Abuna said, Loa, it may be a good idea to approach the person, if I understood correctly, to kind of have a discussion or to maybe try to switch them over from jealousy to being not jealous, or to kind of work together on being or on getting closer to each other. I think it's an ideal approach. However, it needs to be done with wisdom and caution, because you never know like what the other person is holding in their heart towards you or towards themselves, or what kind of baggage they have. So going to talk to them or to approach them might like generate a more negative outcome than just praying for them and staying away from them. I totally agree with Abuna on not showing off or not stressing on those areas where they are sensitive towards. But I would just approach the element of talking to them or approaching them with extreme caution and wisdom.
Okay, I think Nemtom Kolokom.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Thank God for everything, concerning everything and everything. Thank God also too for the church and opening the door of the church for us to pray. Thank you, God, that we are here in your bottom. Thank you for everything that we have. We are listening to your words. And we are looking also to that you are working inside our heart. Our aim, our goal, that we wanted to live with you in this life. And our wish to meet you in heaven. Give us this opportunity in where we are here living in this life, to know you more and to clean our heart from everything. Bless the church, all the servants, all the congregation, all the priests and our bishop too and our patriarch. By the intercession of Saint Mary, Saint Mark, Mermina Bobacrullus, Saint Paul, Saint Anthony, may I worthy to pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us day our daily bread, forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, the time, and the power, the glory forever. Amen. Go in the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.